That's the thing. Few things. Pull out your phones. And I need you to re-enter your phones again with the text messaging group, because we emptied it all out. So people won't get certain text messages. I didn't want the graduating class from last year to keep getting our text messages and wondering why we keep texting them. It's 41411. And then the message is EIWTC. I hope you catch it on the internet. 41411. And the message you send is EIWTC. You should get some response, right? All right, good, good. Of course, you know, all my exams are open book. It means we're going to do some reading in here. This is the book you should have. Spirit Life Training. Everybody got this one? Good, good. This particular class, we're going to really focus on the soul in this particular class. And the reason being is that Christians have a tendency to be super spiritual. And when they're super spiritual, they tend to do a lot of crazy things. And a lot of them are not instructions from God. They're just instructions from themselves, because they want the neighbor to seem to understand that they're super spiritual. And so you find a lot of Christians doing a lot of foolish things. And if you would, go turn me to Isaiah, the first chapter. And so the body of Christ has done a real horrible job in understanding the tripart being and understand how they work with each other. All right? Number one is I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. All right. That's how we as Christians ought to function. We ought to stop trying to function from an earthly to heaven perspective. We're going to operate from a heaven to earth perspective. All right. That means, in order for me to operate from a heaven to earth perspective, I'm going to have to realize that my spirit is king. All right. My soul is a manager or servant. And my body is the slave. Now, we're going to learn why people have addiction issues. We're going to learn why people have problems with repetitive sins. We're going to learn why. And it's because anytime you let any one of those entities get out of whack, you're not going to function properly. When you forget that your spirit is king, when you forget that your soul is a servant, you forget that your body is a slave. If those with addiction issues, their body is the king. See, your mind within itself has no original thoughts. Your mind is always looking for something to feed off of. So either it's going to feed from your spirit or it's going to feed from your body. Your mind either going to serve the spirit or it's going to serve the body. It's going to serve somebody. It's either going to serve the spirit or serve the body. So that's where you get carnal, the word carnal. Because go to Romans before we go to Isaiah. Romans, 8th chapter. Therefore, there is therefore, verse 1, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right? That's referring to your which direction your soul is going to go. Your soul either is going to go after the flesh, or your soul is going to follow after the Spirit. All right, watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's a fact. All right? I am free because of the Spirit of life. All right? I'm no longer obligated to this world system and the results from this world system. But I can still be getting remnants of the world system if my soul follows after my flesh. Are you seeing this? So even though it's a fact that I'm free from the law of sin and death, if my soul keeps following the flesh, then it's going to look like I'm still bound by the law of sin and death. That's why you have Christians, watch this. This is why you have Christians who run into problems and can't find their way out. Because their soul is making decisions based on the flesh and not on the Spirit. Is this making sense? Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do what? What? Other words, if you go after the flesh, if your focus is on fleshly ideas, fleshly thought patterns, that's what your mind is serving to your body. All right, watch this. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Watch this, verse 6. For to be what? Carnally minded is what? Yeah. But to be is what? Life and what? Peace. Not just life. Peace. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything in its place. That sounds like being free from the law of sin and death. You see this? So I have two entities that's pulling on my mind. My mind within itself has no original thoughts. But it's based on what I choose, who I choose to be king. You find many Christians let their bodies be king. That's why they can't deal with sin. Even though they have sin, have no more dominion over them. Because they allow their mind to mind the things of the flesh. So when you mind the things of the flesh, sin is in the flesh. There's no sin in your spirit. When you got born again, what happened when you got born again is you became alive to God again. Your spirit got reconnected to God. All before, your spirit was lying dormant. See, Satan cannot access your spirit. Satan can't access your spirit, but he can access your mind. He can't access your spirit at all, but he can access your mind. So when you got born again, your spirit was reintroduced to its creator. So therefore, now your spirit, which has always been designed to have direct communications with God. So with having direct communications with God, if you allow your soul to follow after the Spirit, that means your soul will have direct communication with God. So that's why meditating the Word of God is so important. Because when I choose to meditate the Word of God, that means I am dragging my mind into the spirit realm. Are you seeing this? Every time you see the word in the Bible, you see the word heart. It does not just mean your spirit. heart is a combination of your spirit and your soul. See, your spirit is in a, your spirit is ineffective in the earth realm without your soul. Your spirit is ineffective. Matter of fact, your spirit is ineffective in the spirit world without your soul. All right, let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 119. Let's go to Isaiah 119. Isaiah 119. So this class is going to be about understanding different aspects of the soul. You're going to learn there's five aspects of the soul, and each of those aspects affect the other. So the purpose of the Word of God is to keep each of those aspects aligned so that when it comes to decision making, our decision making is not altered outside the will of God. Our decision making can only be altered by the will of God. Isaiah 119. Everybody love this scripture. Everybody love this one. Isaiah 119. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the what? But look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Come now. And let us reason together. Says who?
The Lord.
Come let us, what? Reason together. Why? Reason, what it mean? You can't reason with your spirit. Your spirit, watch this. Your spirit, once again, now remember what I said earlier. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, right? Old things pass away, behold, all things become new, right? Watch this. All things become new. All it's simply saying is your spirit has been reconnected to its original creator, God the Father. So your spirit is set in stone about what it's designed to do. This is why I think it's Psalms 139, Apostle been quoting this about health. It says, I was there when you were formed in the belly. I know your bones. And at the end of that verse, it says, oh, how thy soul knoweth quite well. That means what they're saying is your spirit was sitting there when God was creating you. That's what that means. Your spirit was there when God was creating you. So your spirit is set in stone. When a person is not born again, all that simply says their spirit is lying dormant. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens is, all the sin in your life has been taken out. You've been redeemed, put back in your former position, which now means your spirit is alive and you can have direct communications with God. So now you can fulfill the will of God. Are you seeing this? So here it says, come now, let us what? Reason together. God is simply saying, come, let us put our minds together. Oh, where is it? I can quote it, but I can't call it where it is. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Come on, let's find that. Some of y'all with your iPads and what is it? Isaiah 55, I think that's it. Isaiah 55, turn there. 55:8? There it is, 55:8. Absolutely, 55:8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Here's what it reads. God is talking. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That passage of Scripture is not talking to you. Read the 55th chapter. It was talking about people marred in sin, people stuck in sin. Because if God's ways are higher than our ways, then that means we can't access them. If his thoughts are higher than ours, that means we can't access them. But yet, for some strange reason, God say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to do what? Give expectation in Jeremiah 29:11. So that means when God said, come, let us reason together, turn back to Isaiah, come, let us reason together, that means when God wants us to put our thoughts with his thoughts, something is supposed to happen to our thoughts. Isaiah, back to Isaiah 119. Verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now listen to this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Sins just simply means action. Though your actions be as scarlet, in other words, stained, flawed, internally flawed, originally flawed. Anybody who thinks without the thoughts of God is originally thought, your thoughts are originally flawed. There's nothing, anybody who thinks without, it's just like having dirty water. No matter what you do, you can pull, you take that picture. Once dirt get in that water, you cannot get original. The water can't be clean no more. I don't care what kind of chemical agents you put in it, it ain't gonna be clean no more. That water is going to be tainted. Somebody who thinks without the thoughts of God, without God's influence, automatically is flawed. So nothing good can come from flawed. No matter how much you do to that water, the only thing to get that thing probably, watch this. This is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that example. The only thing to get that water clean is if you start taking clean water and pouring into that pitcher and it flushes out all of the dirt. Is that making sense? So that's the purpose of Romans 12 and 2. You know, it's like you have to let Romans 12 and 2, the word of God has to be that agitator in the washing machine. You put dirty clothes in, and an agitator just turns and turns and turns and turns. Move the clothes around, turn and turn. And for some strange reason, you put dirty clothes in, right? And they come out clean because that agitator kept messing with them. It just wouldn't let them lay in their normal condition. It wouldn't let them stay in that same condition. I'm going to mess with you and mess with you and mess with you and mess with you until I get this clean. That's what the word of God does with our soul. It messes with you and messes with you and messes with you until the soldiers say, God, dog, the spirit is king. I'm not listening to my flesh anymore. Spirit is king. Are y'all seeing this? It's come now, let us reason together. Said the Lord, though your actions be as scarlet, stained, flawed, they shall be as white as snow. So in other words, God said, when you put your thoughts with mine, anything that was erroneous about your thoughts is going to be straightened out after we finish. After we finish, your actions are now going to be pure, straight, holy, righteous, effective, powerful, anointed, graceful, full of favor, so that nothing can come against what you're about, what your soul is giving you instruction to your body to act out. Nobody gonna be able to stop it. You're seeing this. He said, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. 1 Thessalonians 5. See, a lot of Christians don't want to deal with the soul. But if you don't deal with the soul, if you don't properly deal with the soul, it can be the blockage to knowing and understanding the will of God. Apostle been teaching us last Tuesday, start talking about the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Do you know where the spirit of error originates? The spirit of error does not originate in your spirit. The spirit of error originates in your mind, in your soul. You got a hold of some bad information. You done got a hold of a bad experience, and you done interpreted it wrong. So now it leads to this thought, and this thought leads to this thought. Then something happens that enhances this thought. So now all of a sudden you got erroneous thinking happening. Are you seeing this? So the soul is, listen, God has a mind. I knew they were going through it when I said that. Think about it. God has, okay, I know the thoughts. What are thoughts? Yeah, God is a spirit, yeah. But he has a mind. Wisdom is a thought. Wisdom is a supernatural thought that comes from God. So because we're so not spiritual, wanting to be super spiritual. Y'all gonna, use that word over and over in this class. Wanting to be super spiritual, that do y'all realize, and we're gonna go over this again, do y'all realize that God told Joshua to see? I've given you Jericho. Do you know what Joshua had to do? He had one of the aspects, he had to use his imagination. Because I look across Jordan. Ain't nobody going in. Ain't nobody coming out. So I can't look at what's happening to get a picture. I can't follow after the flesh to get a picture of who God has me, who God wants me to be, where God has me going. I can't look to the flesh. I can't look at my outside surroundings. Because if I look at my outside surroundings, then a picture going to be formed from the outside. Then my thoughts are going to be shaped from the outside. Joshua, God was very plain. God told Joshua, see. That means Joshua had to literally sit down and begin to imagine them having Jericho. And you know, watch this. You know why it was easy for Joshua to see? Because Joshua had already had experience. He was one of the spies that it went in. So he knew what was over there. He knew what was possible. He knew what. So because of that, see, God is not going to ask you to imagine something you first don't have. He hadn't given you a sweet taste of it. God ain't going to set you up like that. God ain't gonna cause you to try to imagine something that you haven't had an inkling of an experience with. He's never gonna do that to you. What that's called is
I'm learning to leave. That's called thirsting. Are y'all seeing this? So we have to understand that. God is a spirit when he has thoughts. Let us reason together. If God can have a mind, he will reason with. Though your actions are just a result of what you've been thinking, right? Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce fear. Y'all remember this? And your feelings do what? Your environment gives you your thoughts. That's why you have to watch what you read, watch what you watch on TV, watch who you hang around, watch who's talking to you. You gotta watch all this stuff because your environment always puts pressure on your thought process. So now, if I spend the majority of my time being influenced from the outside, then that means I'm going to have thoughts that come from the outside, which means I'm going to have feelings from the outside, which means I'm going to behave like the outside. But if my environment is being conditioned with the Word of God, that means my thoughts are going to be Word of God conditioned. That means my feelings are going to be Word of God conditioned, and then my actions are going to be Word of God conditioned. All that simply means is I will be able to follow the will of God. I will be able to follow His instructions. So the mind, we're in the body of Christ, we just come through the mind of the side. And Satan's been tap dancing our mind. So this is why certain sins we can't figure out. Watch this. Oh, broke back. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Most Christians stop right there. They stop right there. I ain't no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. I ain't been condemned. It ain't what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. It said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So if you walk after the flesh, condemnation don't set in on you. So this is why certain Christians who walk after the flesh and can keep committing the same repetitive sins. That's why they feel so horrible after each time, because it's not conviction, it is condemnation. See, Satan loves condemnation, because condemnation is breeding ground for you're not good enough. Condemnation is breeding ground for you ain't gonna amount to nothing in the light of Christ. Condemnation is breeding ground for Satan to tell you, see, I told you. You ain't worth nothing. Because we keep allowing our soul to see our body as a king instead of a slave. So therefore, our soul makes decisions based on how our body feels. Now you say, wait a minute now. How can my mind make decisions based on how my body feels if my thoughts produce my feelings? It's because you walk out of the flesh, it's a cycle. So the environment gives me a thought. I start feeling a certain way. I like the way that feels, so I repeat the process. Instead of allowing my soul to be connected to my spirit that knows. My spirit not moved by feeling. It's only moved by facts. It's only moved by the spirit of truth. So other words, watch this. So all right, the example. This is my teacher apostolic lesson right quick, okay? So it does not matter how my leader treats me. If my spirit knows this is where I'm supposed to be. So my leader can have a human moment every now and then. But I'm not gonna hold that against him or her and change how I feel. Because my spirit knows what God spoke to me about being here. Are you seeing this? So therefore my spirit is not moved by feeling, it's moved by spirit of truth. It's moved by truth. So therefore, that's why I can't be shaken. I can't be moved. That's why I'm a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. I can't be just uprooted and moved somewhere else because of my feeling. Because my feelings don't work. And if you don't feel right, if you wake up in the morning and you don't feel right, you're lost, let's check your thoughts. Check your thoughts. If you feel like, oh man, I just nobody, I don't think nobody appreciates me. Check your thoughts. Check your thoughts. Because your feelings come from your thoughts. Now here's the thing. Now, your flesh gonna try you every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, so important. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? You present your body. God is not going to present your body. You're going to present your body. Which means your soul have decided that my body is a slave. So God, my body gonna do what you say. My body don't run nothing here. That's why it's so hard for people to get. That's why so people see. For instance, I believe in. I'm a firm believer in apostolic instruction. Inside apostolic instruction is deliverance, is answers, is wisdom, is doors open. For instance, give an example of apostolic instruction. Now, what's the thing we understand about apostolic? It is the freest place you ever been. That apostolic is the freest place that exists. The freest place. Because the apostolic is the government of God. God is the government of God. God is the you want the Bible to see the freest place? Why? Because they force you to be your taxes. You don't pay your taxes. Don't pay your taxes. Go ahead and make some money in the United States. Go ahead and earn some money and you don't pay your taxes. But the government of God don't force you to be here. See, people try to take you back to the Mark of Matthew, and you're not alive to be here. People try to take you out of time, but it's in the book. But that ain't where you originally learned about tithing from. You originally learned about tithing in Genesis. See, Matthew, Malachi, and Tom, you're not alive to be here. But it is a new record. It's written in question song. These are people that shut it off. And nobody did what you need from. So it don't mean you don't think if you tithe, then the devour's coming. It's just saying that if the devour do come, ain't nothing gonna be able to be done by it. So ain't nothing gonna be forced to do that. See, the apostolic is the freest place you'll be. So whenever apostolic instruction is given, you can have a choice. The Bible says there were 3 million people that came out of Egypt. None of them was sick, and all of them was weak. But let me tell you, it was more than 3 million. Some of them ain't come out. It's just saying that everybody who came out, see, everybody had to put their blood on their doorposts. See, that was apostolic instruction. Put the blood over the mouth. When Moses came back and told him what to do, that was apostolic instruction. You had to put the blood on your doorpost. You ain't got to do that. Moses said, hey, the death angel is coming. But God has provided a means for us to be protected and bypassed. This is what you're going to have to do. See, so now I'm always looking for apostolic instruction. Some people miss it because in today's society, we look at our leaders as teaching us the Bible, and then we figure out how to do everything else. For instance, here are the modern day apostolic instructions that Apostle Thompson gave the World Wide Christian Center. He told Wide Christian Center, he said, look, don't eat meat for 2 weeks and see what happens. If you ain't listening, you'll look at that and say, well, maybe I do eat meat. Maybe I will eat meat. All he said was, don't eat it for 2 weeks. Now, watch this. Here's where you understand when your soul is following after the spirit or following after the flesh. So if you got argument but not eating meat for 2 weeks and trying to find every excuse in the book, because see, here's what I believe. Every time apostolic instructions, I know the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. When he gave them apostolic instruction, if you just went 2 weeks, there was healing that was going to take place that couldn't take place by anybody laying hands on you. See, you got to learn to follow apostolic instructions. And if your soul is always jacked up, if your soul is being ran by your flesh, then you're going to find every excuse in the book of why I can't eat these. When apostolic instructions, he didn't send your hand to do it. Because remember now, the apostolic is the freest place you'll ever be. You didn't have to do it. But what if you chose? What if you made the decision to do it? Are you seeing? You see how dangerous it is for your soul to be run by your flesh rather than by your spirit. Are y'all seeing? So our soul, and then our soul, our soul has five different aspects, and sometimes we don't know which one is tripping us up. Whether it's our imagination, whether it's our will, whether it's our emotions, we don't know which one, whether it's our memory. Sometimes we have some past experiences in our lives that won't let us go no further with God. Some things that people might have done to us, or some things we may have experienced, we hold. Do you know the whole reason for forgiveness? The whole purpose and reason for forgiveness is so that you can move on. Not that the other person is being let off the hook. It's just so that you can move on. See, so you can move forward with what God has called you to do. Forgiveness is not really for the other person. It's more for you. It's about you clearing your mind. Jesus, forgiveness simply means I won't deal with an issue no more. I won't spend another minute. I won't spend another second. I won't spend another piece of my brain particle on this situation. See, now watch this. The Bible says that God puts our sins in the sea of forgiveness. The Bible never told us to put what people have done to us in the sea of forgiveness. It just tells us to forgive. So therefore, watch this. In my memory, I have to properly use it to know if somebody did me wrong now, I'm not dealing with them no more. See, y'all want to try to take the scripture and whoop me with it right quick. How many times you forgive a person? 70 times 7. Right? That's if you keep walking into that situation. Because you walked in it because you chose to walk into it. Nobody told, Jesus never said you had to walk into that situation again. You walking that 490 times. That's your fault. That's you. You decided to do that. Are y'all seeing this? So don't whoop me with scriptures. Are y'all seeing this? So if you walk into this situation 490 times, you got to forgive them 490 times. But anybody told you walk into that situation 490 times? Are y'all seeing about being super spiritual? Y'all see what I'm saying? How the soul, when it's properly trained, will cause you to avoid some heartaches, or cause you to avoid some foolishness. See, Jesus said, how many times we should forgive him? Well, if you're in this situation, you got to forgive him 490, you got to forgive him every time. But Jesus never said in that passage that you got to walk in this situation 490 times. For me, it don't take it one time. If a person show you who they are, I'm trying to tell you. See, that man, Christian be trying to be super spiritual. So therefore, when you keep walking in that situation multiple times, of course your memory going to be jacked up. If you was in one bad relationship and you keep getting in that bad relationship, keep dealing with that same stupid fool, then of course when the next person come along, you're going to be dragging all this hell. But you walk into that multiple times. Are y'all hearing me? Is that making sense? So we have to understand how precious our soul is. How precious our soul is. How God designed our soul. How God designed our soul to operate with Him. To operate with Him in the way He wants. See, Satan knew this already. Satan knows how we operate. You know, Satan knows with God. He knows how we operate. That's why Satan came into the sky, and gave enough information to cause them to be inquisitive. He, See, he gave a little bit of truth. Wasn't it the truth? Oh, Jesus, you're not surely gonna die. Well, because they had to be with God, they didn't understand what death really means. They weren't talking about physical death. But because they hadn't been with God, watch this. Watch what Satan did. Satan not only gave them an idea, but he told them how to feel. So now, they were dumbed down to get information from Satan. So now, when they got information from Satan, Satan then made their flesh king. That's why they felt ashamed, because they were naked. Satan will even stop your spirit. He shut your soul down, he got your spirit. Because your soul gives expression to your spirit. Your soul gives expression to your spirit. So Satan had to, he had to do a whole, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of people to jump through. All they do is get them to believe him over there. See? Last week, Romans 10. Verse 8. This is how you're born again. But what said? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy what? That means the combination of your spirit and soul. Alright? That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy what? Heart. Think about how this process happened. Think about your born again experience. The word of God was delivered to you in some form or fashion, whether you was in a church service, whether somebody witnessed to you, whatever, it was presented to you. But that word had to pass through first. Your mind. It has to pass through your mind first. It didn't go through your spirit first. To your mind. When your mind was alerted to the word of God, your spirit began to pay attention. Because now something is in your soul that I recognize. Something is now in your soul that I recognize that I can agree with. That's when conviction sets in. Because your spirit convicts, your spirit don't convince. Your flesh condemns, your spirit convicts. What's there between conviction and condemnation? Conviction gives you a chance to change. Condemnation don't want you to change. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine what? Heart. Not believe in your spirit. Believe in your heart, which means believe in your mind and your spirit. In other words, you heard the word of God, you believed it, and your spirit came alive because it now says that it recognizes something in your soul that it can connect to. Shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe with thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth confession is made unto salvation. So therefore, your soul is all included in it. Because you, whether you believe it or not, your brain, whether you believe it or not, every time you speak, your brain is engaged. Now, some don't look like their brain is engaged when they speak. But every time you speak, your brain is engaged.
So with your brain being engaged, it's not going to say nothing. As much as your brain, your mouth is not going to say nothing. Your brain had no cage in it. That's why you have to be slow. See, being slow to speak is a trained behavior. Because our natural behavior is to come back. You ain't got to train for that. That's automatic. That's in you. That's automatic. You ain't got to be trained for that. But you got to be trained to be slow to speak. So my point is that your brain is going to be engaged every time you speak, even though some people, like I said, look like their brain not engaged when they talk. But trust me, their brain is engaged. So what my point is, the point I'm saying is that your soul is very important to your Christian walk. All right? It's very important to your Christian walk. Last scripture, we close it here, 3 John. Very familiar scripture. People read the scripture. They read the scripture and they kind of understand it, but they don't realize the significance of this. All it's simply saying is that your mind is a blank slate that has to be programmed. So what are you going to let it be programmed with? So John was giving us giving us of what direction our mind should be going in. He said, beloved, I wish above all things. Above what? Above all things. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So, in other words, let's read it another way. Beloved, I wish above all things that your soul prosper, so that you can be, that you can prosper and be in health. So what he was saying is, what Paul was saying is, above all things, take care of your soul. Your soul is important. Without your soul, your body, watch this, your body is a slave. It's supposed to take orders from the soul. How would it take, just scientific, biologically. He writing. Because his brain is telling his fingers to do these things. You seeing this? So your soul is, so how do you think you're going to operate in faith? How do you think you're going to fulfill your assignment without your soul? If your soul is not renewed, you're not going to be able to pick up on the will of God. If you can't pick up on the will of God, Matthew 6:33 is out the boat for you. If your mind is always jacked up, Matthew 6:33 is you can't even get in the ballpark with it. You can't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness if your mind always jacked up. If your feelings always jacked up, if your memory always jacked up, if your emotions are all out of whack, you're not even gonna be able to seek first the kingdom of God. So my question is to you as I close, and this class, how important this class is gonna be, is how important is your mind? How important is your mind? So now, reading and meditating the Word of God on a consistent basis is a necessity. Because throughout the day, we get to 2 Corinthians 10. When you get throughout the day, your environment is going to feed you so many thoughts. Some of them you're going to get consciously. Some of them, we're going to talk about this, conscious and being unconscious. How many of y'all go to sleep with the TV on? If you go to sleep, somebody talking to you. Somebody talking to you, you wonder, you get a big one to wonder why you're thinking a certain way. Because somebody was talking to you all night long while you thought you was unconscious, but your mind was still moving. I'll see y'all next week.